Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go in our Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. Ooh, what a time tonight. Amen. Romans chapter 5. Well, I hope you're just as excited when I tell you what I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm going to talk about the consequences. This is the title of the message. It's kind of a long one. The consequences of obedience and disobedience. You know, there's consequences of obedience, but there's consequences of disobedience. You know? So I don't know about you. I always remember what Brother Hagin said one time. You know, I've said talked about this before, but I always remember him talking about when the Lord told him, he said, you're going to have to do this or else. Talking about something in the ministry. Brother Hagin said, well, I believe I will. I don't want else. Amen. You know, that's not good fruit. You know, listen, you know, what about all this going on? You know, we see all these natural disasters and so forth and all this. And you know, a lot of this is, you know, there's a curse on the earth. I mean, all that. I mean, we've had natural disasters since the days, of the beginnings. Amen. And so, you know, Jesus talked about, you know, those that the Tower of Siloam fell on. He said, do you think they were worse sinners than everybody else? He said, I'm telling you, no, they weren't, you know. Those that Herod or Pilate mingled their blood with the sacrifices and killed them. Do you think they were worse than anybody? He said, no, that wasn't it. He said, but unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. In other words, unless you obey and follow me, you don't know what's going to happen to you. Now, it's not that God's bringing it on you. You understand that? God's not doing these things. I said, God's not doing. God didn't send, Hurricane Ida? He didn't send that. That's not his doings. That's the curse. Amen. But one thing that happens is if we don't obey God as a people, we lose that protection. You know, and maybe not fully, but to a measure we do, you know. I always like something that Billy Graham's daughter said during, you know, 9/11 when, you know, everybody was blaming this and blaming that. Some preachers were saying God did it, you know, like he's a terrorist flying planes into buildings and killing innocent people. You know, and others said, you know, it's because of this or because of that. And they had her on one of these shows. I don't know if it was a news thing or what it was, but they had her on there and asked her, well, what about this? Why didn't God stop this? She said, well, you'll have to remember, we kicked him out. We told him, get out of school, get out of government, and now we're asking for his help. We're the ones that told him to leave. And so, like a gentleman, you know, amen, amen. And I'm not saying that, you know, and by that, I'm not inferring that God just permitted that. I'm just saying people weren't walking in obedience, and the devil gets an advantage when you don't. Amen. All right, have you found Romans chapter 5, verse 19? The Bible says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, that being Adam, so by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. So one man, Adam, when he disobeyed, I mean, it affected many, didn't it? Yeah. It affected you and me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We're still, even though we're redeemed, we still are under the effects somewhat of that disobedience because our bodies, we haven't received the redemption of our bodies. Thank God our spirit man is redeemed and we've received the fullness of that, but we've yet to get our glorified body, and that's why we have to fight things sometimes, you know, sickness. And, you know, every time you feel a pain, you can just thank Adam. Amen. Every time your back hurts or you get a headache or, you know, God forbid anything, these things happen to you, but, you know, they do occasionally. We do have to deal with things, don't we? And every time that happens, we can say, well, Adam, thank you very much. When I get to heaven, I'm going to kick in a place or two and then repent. You know, because all of this came on, all this curse, all this death, all this damnation, all the sin, all the sickness, all that came upon us because one man disobeyed. But glory be to God. Deliverance came. Salvation came. Healing came. Restoration came because one man obeyed. Now, I thought about that. You know, you and I, our obedience or our disobedience can affect a lot of people. A lot of people. For good or for bad. There are parents that have disobeyed God and their children have suffered for it. But then there's parents that have obeyed God and their children have been blessed for it. So our obedience or disobedience, it has far-reaching consequences. See? Now I want to talk to you about this because when you get to talk about disobedience, you know, you can begin to, you know, look at the Ten Commandments and say, well, I don't break any of those, and so I'm good. But did you know there's a whole lot more in the Bible than the Ten Commandments? How many did you know that? You said, no, I haven't read past Exodus yet. How long have you been saved? Well, 32 years. Kick it in gear, brother. Amen. How many understand that the Bible tells us to be doers of the Word? Right? So there's a lot of things in this book to do. Next time your kid says, there just ain't nothing to do, get the Bible out and find them something to do. Amen. So there's, you know, Jesus said, if you do my sayings, he said, you're building your house on a rock. If you don't, you're building them on sand. And so he just basically said, obedience or disobedience is going to determine whether your house stands or your house falls, because storms are going to come. But the house that's built right, you know, you can build a house cheaply if you want to, but then you're going to end up paying for it, you know. I heard this story. It was told as a true story, you know, and so I like to tell true stories. And so this was told as a true story, but this guy, this contractor was having, and this was several years ago when the housing market and all was depressed. He was having a real hard time. His business, he just didn't have the business, you know. And so a friend of his who was very wealthy said, I want you to build me a house. And he said, okay. And so he built a nice one. I mean, you know, an expensive one. But this guy was not exactly, this builder was not exactly full of integrity. And so he cut some corners on the concrete and different areas he cut corners. You know, you can water the concrete down and it weakens it, and over time it cracks and things. And so it looks good for a while. But, you know, he started cutting corners and he got the house all done. And when he got done, he went to present it to the guy that had him build it. And he said, you know what? He said, I had you build that for you. That's your house. Let me know, when you disobey God, you're not hurting anybody except your own house. Now, you know, it will affect other people, but basically it's your house that you're using cheap material on. Right. Amen. Right. And see, sometimes we think, you know, it's the big things, the big Ten Commandments, but you know, there's a lot of things in the Word that we know to do that we may not do, and that's called disobedience, isn't it? Yeah. And so, you know, the Song of Solomon, you know that book that you read every day? It says the little foxes spoil the vines. So sometimes when we think about obedience or disobedience, we think about the big things. But yet, sometimes we're just not doing what the Word says. And James said, when you do that, you're a hearer and not a doer, you deceive yourself. You're hurting yourself, see. You know, you think, people think, because I know what the Bible says, I'm in faith. But you have to be a doer of the Word. Amen. Not just a hearer, but a doer of the Word. So we want to talk about this because I don't want you to think, you know, it's these big things, you know. But, you know, I told you this story, and it happened to me some years ago. And, you know, you've heard it before, but it's a really good example of how you can just disobey God, and it doesn't seem in your mind like it's a big thing, but how many know you parents don't think that way? You think the kids should obey everything, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, see, that's, it may seem like a small thing, but it's disobedience. Right. And so, you know, this guy, he got offended at me in church, and I didn't know why. We never had any words. We never had a conversation where we got, you know, at odds with one another. So I have no idea why he's offended. But it's quite obvious he's offended. I mean, when he would see me, I mean, he'd look the other way. He would, you know, he would not wave. He made it very obvious, I don't like you. And so the Lord one day said to me, he said, I want you to call him and I want you to apologize. Well, I said, what for? I don't know what to apologize for, Lord. I didn't do anything to the guy. And You know, if I'd have done something, well, now I'd apologize for that, you know. Only thing I could figure is that, you know, something I said preaching, he didn't like it, you know. And so, you know, hey, I say stuff preaching I don't like sometimes. You just got to get over it, right? You know, there's no saying when you throw a rock into a pack of wild dogs, the one that yelps loud is the one you hit. So if you yelp, you probably got hit, see? So I don't know what happened, but anyway, so I just like blew it off. Like, you know, I don't know why I should call this guy. I didn't do anything to him, you know. Well, time went on, you know, and God would bring it up every now and then, you know, especially if I was in prayer. Sometimes he'd bring it up in prayer. Call this guy and apologize to him. And I said, I'd always, you know, basically my answer would be the same thing all the time. What for? I don't know what to apologize about. I didn't do anything to him. And if, you know, if I'd have stolen $100 out of his billfold or, you know, wrecked his car or something, I would know what to do. And so I'd just blow it off. That went on over a period, everybody say 3 years. You're not this hard-headed, are you? That God would bring it up. Now, he didn't bring it up every time, but he'd bring, you know, every day. He didn't bring it up every day, but James, every now and then, I'd be praying, he'd bring that up. And once you call this guy and apologize to him. And finally, my prayer life just went dry. It went to dust. The heavens turned to brass. And I was in there praying you know how, you ever read there in Luke where it says that the Pharisee prayed thus with himself? Have you ever read that verse? In Luke, I think it's Luke 18 or 19, says the Pharisee prayed thus with himself, thank you, God, I'm not like other men. And all. That's what I was doing on this Thursday. I think it might have been Thursday afternoon. I can't remember. I was praying thus with myself. Nobody else was involved. And you know, the Lord said, I want you to call this guy and apologize to him. And then I said, well, Lord, why? Now, you know, God doesn't have to tell you why, does he? Right? But he did. Thank God he did. And he said, I want you to call him for his benefit, not your benefit. I thought, well, why didn't you tell me that to start with? You know, the Bible says Abraham went out and obeyed, not knowing where he was going. Now, God was gracious to me, explained it to me. So I did call the guy, and I said, no, I don't know what I did to you, but I apologize. And he's like, oh, everything's fine, everything's good, no problems whatsoever. Oh, well, good, this, I did my job, praise God. I didn't tell him that part, but anyway. You know, I'd done what God told me to do. Now, I don't know. See, evidently, he was carrying something around he needed to get rid of, and God, I was the key to him getting rid of it. And, you know, God's more concerned about people being delivered than you looking good. Amen. You know, I thought, well yeah, because that's part of it. You know, what, a little bit of pride there, you know. I don't, you know, I'm a man. I don't go around apologizing every day. Men don't make mistakes. Come on, men, help me out here. It's just women that don't see things right. That's all it is. And all the women said,
you're digging a hole.
No, how many know we all make mistakes, right? Men and women. This isn't, you know, relegated. Men probably make more. You know, I've got to where now. God, why did I say that? That was a dumb statement. You know, I've got to where now, if Phyllis says it a certain way, I've just learned long enough. I've been wrong for 35 years almost now. It's like, it must have been that way, you know. Amen. Now, help me understand, that wasn't a big, major, like I'm breaking the Ten Commandments, but God said do something. So that's disobedience. So I got disobedience in my life, and when Adam disobeyed, all the curse came on the earth, right? So when we're in disobedience, see, it opens the door for things that consequences that aren't good, see. It's not that God causes them, it's just we've opened a door, see. See, Jesus said this about himself. He said, the prince of this world, he said, I'm not going to talk much with you after this. He said, for the prince, told his disciples this, for the prince of this world comes and he has nothing in me. There isn't any harvest here for him. I don't have anything in my life belongs to him. So he can't touch me. But see, and I know that we're taught that everything that we receive comes by grace and we don't work for things. Well, Hamiel, that is true. But here's the other flip side of that. See, you couldn't do anything. You couldn't be good enough to earn the blessings of God. You couldn't be good enough to earn God's salvation. But there are things that once, it's free, it's paid for. Jesus paid for it. But that does not mean all of that's going to automatically be manifest in your life, because there are things that we do that tap into that blessing. Faith is one of the things we do, see?
Right?
See, how many of you didn't get saved? It wasn't just all God when you got saved. You had to do something. Paul said you had to confess Jesus as Lord of your life. Peter said, when he was preaching in Acts, he said, God gives the Holy Spirit to those that obey Him. Now, does their obedience earn it? No, it was provided for freely, but you had to do something to acquire it, you could say. That's probably not a good word, to appropriate it. All the money you have in the bank is yours. But you got to do something to get it out. Right? See, what do you got to do? Well, I don't know. You got to go to the ATM machine. You know, if you got one of those cards and flip it in there and give it the right access code and get the money out, or you can go to the bank, you know, and get it out of savings. But you got to do something. You can't just walk in there and say, give me my money. It belongs to you, right?
Yeah.
But they're not going to give it to you that way. You got to do the right thing. See, the things of God are accessed a certain way. They're already ours. How many understand what I'm saying? You can't earn your salvation, but you have to obey God and do what God said to do to make it a reality in your life.
Right.
All the promises of God are predicated upon us obeying God. And so a lot of times just things that we don't really think about or we don't think are a big deal, they open the door for the enemy to attack us. And that doesn't mean every time we get attacked, we've opened the door. But I'm just simply saying they can open doors through our disobedience. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it comes in different levels. I hope I'm not confusing, but sometimes we open big doors. Sometimes there's just little cracks. But still, wrong stuff's getting in. And that's not good. There's consequences for disobedience. But thank God there's consequences for obedience. Hallelujah. You know, Ephesians said it this way, neither give place to the devil. Well, if you couldn't give him any place, he wouldn't tell you that. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will what? But what do you got to do first? You got to submit to God first, then you resist, then he flees. Right? So if you're not submitted, how many know? Right? You know, he doesn't have to obey you if you're not submitted. Remember that man, you all know the story in Matthew 8 where the man, he said to Jesus, just come and lay your hand, just speak the word only, my servant will be healed. And what he says, I'm a man under authority. So that's why I got authority. So, you know, we open the doors when we're disobedient to things, and we don't want to do that. Amen? Go to Isaiah chapter 1. I want to read this scripture, Isaiah 1, and we'll go from here. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Everybody say, I'm going to be obedient. Yeah, you said that like you really meant it. I hope you have more enthusiasm about this than that. Because, how many know, just small things, I mean, it can affect people's lives. You know, just small things, you know. Maybe God nudges you to go talk to somebody about the Lord. Well, you need to obey those nudges. Why? Because this might be their last day on earth. You don't know. You just don't know. But God knows. Amen. And so all those little nudges, You just need to obey. I've had those little nudges, you know, from God to do something. And man, I'm telling you, some of those have turned into really good blessings. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Just a little obedience goes a long way in walking in the favor of God. Amen. You know, and we're in a church age right now. Well, I don't want to say it's a church age. It's a perverted thing. Where, you know, it's teaching it doesn't matter what you do, Christ has paid for it, and you don't have to do anything and all that. Well, if that were so, everybody would be saved, you know. And there are some so crazy, they think we're all saved anyway. Except Somebody forgot to tell the Bible about that, right? Somebody forgot to tell the Apostle Paul that, you know, you don't have to do anything, we're all saved. Amen. I mean, a guy, and you know, I don't know how he's doing now, but he had a big church at one time. Hopefully it's closed. But he wrote a book, you know, and it was called Love Wins. And it was all about how in the end, you know, God's a God of love, and how all in the end we're all going to be saved. We're all going to heaven, whether you're Buddhist or, you know, Muslim or infidel, whatever it is, because Christ paid the price. And I thought, well, how do you arrive at that? So I probably should not have done this, but I bought the book. I don't recommend you do. Matter of fact, I'm telling you, don't buy it. If I catch you with it in your hand, I'm going to call you out. Don't buy the stupid, it's a stupid book. But I thought, how can somebody arrive at this? And I just read the book, and I could tell the guy at one time had a real salvation experience. I could tell he explained his salvation experience and where it happened at. And I thought, yeah, he had a salvation experience. I can tell he had a salvation experience. But somewhere or another, he began to listen to doctrines of demons, wrong spirits, and he began to preach this stuff, you know, that love wins, God's a God of love. You know, all it is philosophy. Paul said, beware of philosophy. We deduce that God's a God of love, because he's a God, God of love. He wouldn't send anybody to hell. We didn't send anybody to hell. We send ourselves by not doing what he said do. Peter said he gives the Holy Ghost to those that obey him. What does that mean? Well, receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's obeying him. And the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And so, you know, I read the guy's book, and I came to the conclusion, you know, this guy, you know, because there's just a lot of things that you have to, you know, leave out if you're going to believe that. I mean, what about the man who's the rich man in Lazarus? He went to hell. And so the thing is this. God requires out of us obedience. Amen. Amen. Now I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. The Bible says, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. How many want the good of the land? Yes. Ooh, I like the good, don't you? Yes. Hallelujah. I like to find where the best restaurants are and eat there. Hey, man, I've eaten so many restaurants in town. I've been here for so long, I can tell you where to go and where not to go a lot of times. You know, amen. But if you refuse, notice this, if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So if we're willing and obedient, it's the good of the land for us. So obedience has consequences, doesn't it? It's called the good of the land. But if we refuse and rebel, it has consequences. It's called being devoured. Now, I like the message here. I know it's not accurate, but it says it. It's funny. In this particular, I mean, what I'm saying by not accurate, you can't find what it says in the Hebrew, but it's a paraphrase. How many know what a paraphrase is? It's somebody's opinion of what the Scripture says. I love it here, where the King James says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The message says, listen to this, this is so good. If you'll willingly obey, you will feast like kings. How many want some feasting like kings spiritually? Hallelujah. But listen to this. But if you're willful and stubborn, you'll die like dogs. I like that. Let me think. Feast like king, die like a dog. I like feast like king. And it goes on to say, that's right, God says so. Well, that is what he's saying. If you're, you know, I mean, he didn't say you die like a dog, but basically that's what would happen to you. You'll die like a dog. But if you're willing and obedient, amen. See, a lot of Christians, I believe this. Come on, are you getting anything tonight or am I? All right. A lot of Christians, I believe this, die before their time. Yes. Because they don't obey. Amen. I remember another minister that I knew. He called me one day and he said, you know, my dad just got taken to the emergency room, heart attack. Now, let me tell you about his dad. His dad was called to preach. But his dad would never live in a place close enough to God long enough to ever do it. You follow me? He just would not consecrate and obey. He had a real stubborn will, real stubborn. And so he called me and he said, my dad just is in the emergency room. He's had a heart attack. And so I go over there. He's a friend of mine. And so he tells me, he said, when dad came to in the emergency room, he said, the first thing he said was, Lord, forgive your disobedient servant. Think about it. He realized the reason he was there was because he was disobedient to God. Are you with me now? Some of you are looking kind of icky now. Listen, I'm not saying God did it to him. I'm saying the devil took advantage of that. If you're going to be in God's perfect will, you got to be in God's perfect will. So if you're going to be in His perfect blessing, you need to do your best to be in His perfect will. Now, all of us, of course, fall short. Thank God for the blood. But when we know we're disobedient, we have a problem. We have a problem. We have to adjust that. Amen. All right, since this is going over so big, we'll move on. Praise God. Listen, Job 36, listen to this. Job 36, 11, 12 says, if they obey and serve Him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Whew, listen to that. But if they do not obey, they shall perish by the sword and they shall die without knowledge. About the same thing Isaiah just said. Amen. Go to Luke chapter 17. I'm going to look at a couple more scriptures out of this and then we'll be done for the night. Luke chapter 17, go there. Luke 17. Got it? Verse 14. And when He, that's Jesus, saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. Now, you know the story, right? 10 lepers, right? And they came to Jesus and said, Master, have mercy on us. And he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And they headed that way. And as they went, they were healed. Now, one night, I know Pastor Chuck was preaching on this scripture one night, a few years back. And I got to thinking, it hit me as he was preaching. I thought, well, now, wait a minute. Okay, Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Now, where are they at? Well, they're in Samaria and Galilee, the area of Samaria and Galilee. And so I thought, I'm going to go home and check that and just see where Jerusalem was in relation to this, because that's where they'd have to go to see the priest. And I found out it was somewhere around 45 miles. Now, when is the last time you walked 45 miles? I didn't think so. Amen. You know, the most I've ran, 13 something, but as far as walking, just walking, maybe 6 or 7 before, something like that. But 45. Now, here's the point I want to get to you. Jesus tells these guys, go show yourself to the priest. Are they healed? Well, they're not healed. They still got leprosy. All right? So, but they turn and they go. Come on, are you hearing me? They turn and they go. What's that? What am I saying to you? I'm saying they just obeyed. They just obeyed. They didn't say, are you kidding me? It's 45 miles. When I see myself healed, I'll go. Because in Israel, if you had leprosy, if you were cleansed, the priest had to verify it. You had to go to the priest, verify, and then he pronounced you clean and you get back in society. As a leper, you weren't allowed in society. So these guys weren't allowed in society like everybody else. So you know what I'm saying? They weren't vaccinated. And so, anyway, they knew that this is a long walk, right? But yet, they obeyed. Even though they're not cleansed. Now, they could have had thoughts like, well, what if I walk 45 miles and I'm still not cleansed? You don't think they had thoughts like that? Could have had thoughts. Well, you know, so, but here's what God asked for us. Just obey. You know, Jesus would sometimes tell people, take up your bed and walk, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He would tell people to do things, and when they did it, the manifestation came. Because sometimes obedience is the greatest act of faith that we can have. Sometimes we can make all kinds of confessions, but God said, I want obedience more than sacrifice. Right? So sometimes what God wants is obedience. You just obey Him and things will clear up and things will get better. It's just like the story I told you about God asking me to call the guy, commanding, you could say, me to call the guy and apologize. After I did it, the heavens opened right back up. But I had to obey. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know about you, but I like the blessing. Hallelujah. All right, go to Malachi chapter. We got a little time here. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Go over there. There's just a few scriptures. Now, I don't know. If the Lord allows me to, I'm going to talk about this some more on Sunday morning, so maybe I shouldn't tell you. But how many will come back anyway? Yes. Amen. All right, Malachi chapter 3. We'll see. Malachi chapter 3. Now, here's a scripture we use for tithing. I want you to see some things here. Malachi chapter 3. It says, even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. How many? That's disobedience, right? Right? Amen. Return unto me, I will return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, wherein shall we return? See, what is this? Well, God's saying, if you obey me, man, I'll be right there. I'll return to you. Will a man rob God? Yeah, you've robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Now, the last person you want to rob is God. How many know that? I mean, if you're going to rob something, don't rob anything. If you're going to rob something, rob a liquor store and get their money or something. I don't know, but don't rob God. All right, that was not meant for real. All right, listen, you are cursed with a curse. Now, God didn't say He cursed them. He just said, you got a curse on you. Right. That's your problem. Why? Because you're in disobedience. You got a curse on you. Right. I mean, these are children of Abraham, right? The Abrahamic covenant kids. They should have a blessing on them. Right? That's what God provided for them. Because they're disobedient, so you got a curse. You got a curse. See, it's not that God's doing it, it's just you're out of the blessing. And He says, you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat or food in my house, and prove me now. Herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, how many know that? This is the fruit of obedience. A blessing, there's not room enough to receive it. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, this is talking about tithing, but what I'm saying, this isn't about tithing. Tithing's included in here, but this would be in every area of our life, right? Tithing's an ordinance of God, right? Well, there's a lot of other things that are God's word, right? And so He said, if you'll just obey me, if you return to me, if you'll keep my ordinances, I will pour out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive it. Amen. Glory to God. What does that mean? The more obedient I am, the more the blessings flowing in my life. I like blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, God can make water come out of a rock. We always tell people, Phyllis and I, we're pretty big on, just obey God, you know. Because, well, I feel like God's calling me to do this, you know, and do it this way. But, you know, I don't know, it seems kind of not in the way I want to do it. Well, it don't matter what you want to do, just obey God. How many know? He knows. Yeah. Hallelujah. He knows. And He'll always provide provision for you. Glory be to God. Amen. So, I'm always endeavoring, you know, I don't care what's the latest, greatest fad or the newest thing or the biggest thing on Christian TV. I want to know what God's saying. Right? Let me give you a little help. Just because somebody's on TV and Christian and has a big audience does not mean they're obeying God. Amen. There's a lot of people with huge audiences that are not obeying God. Amen. So you can't, you know, or maybe they got a book in the Christian bookstore. Well, gosh, they got to be right. How many know that's just not true? That kind of thinking, you know, because Christians can get like the world and get starstruck. Right? It's like, well, you know, I mean, this guy, I mean, man, Pastor, I mean, he's got a full head of hair. He smiles a lot. His teeth are white, you know. He speaks nice. He speaks good English. He's got to be from God. No. There's a lot of movie stars that are that way, and they're not from God. Now, see, we have to understand. It's not about what's the latest greatest. It's about obeying God.
Right.
Amen. Just obeying God.
Right.
Are you with me now?
Right.
You know, and you say, well, you know, I tell you what, I want to sing that new song tonight, but, you know, God's dealing with me to sing Bringing in the Sheaves. Well, I'd sing Bringing in the Sheaves. Yeah, but everybody hates that song. Well, God must like it. I think I'd listen to him. Well, Pastor, nobody's going to respond. Well, don't worry about them. If God responds, you and God will be a majority.
That's right.
I heard a minister say one time, Norval Hayes came to his church. And he said, we started singing this song, and, you know, we were doing our set, you know, go through our songs and all. And we did this one song, and he said, Norval said, say it again. And he's a guest speaker, but, you know, you would have to remember Norval. Have me remember Norval Hayes. He didn't know what mind your own business meant. Anyway, sing it again. He said, Norval, now this may be an exaggeration, but this is what he said. He said, Norval made us sing that song 65 times. He said, but on the 65th time, the glory of God fell on the church, and we had revival. Well, that doesn't, you know, that's not the way you think, you know what I'm saying? You think, you know, people are tired. When Greg first came here, one of his problems was we sang the song, same song over and over again. Same verse over and over again. It's like, come on, move on. We've sung that once, you know. He's grown a little bit since then, but anyway. You know, now when he leads, he does the same thing, you know. He says, I mean, it isn't about it. It's about obeying God, right? Amen.
Amen.
It's about obeying God. Glory to God. Obedience brings blessing. Glory be to God. I've had God have me do things in the service before over the years, and I'm thinking, well, why in the world are we doing this? But obedience brings blessing. Glory be to God. Just obey and be blessed. Hallelujah. Now he said the window. How many would rather have the windows of heaven than the curse?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now let's go to one last scripture, Hebrews chapter 3. And I'll close right here. But I hope you got this. There's consequences for obedience, and there's consequences for disobedience. You know, there's all kinds of things in the Word that if we're not careful, we're just not doing. Right? Like casting our care over on the Lord when the Bible tells us to.
Yep.
You know, that's not a suggestion.
That's right.
Paul said, don't worry about anything. How many always keep that verse? Perfect. You know, and I know sometimes we struggle, but we should be trying to keep it, right?
Right.
You know, and there's okay. How about assemble yourself together? I mean, there's a lot of Christians, they just ignore that one. And then they went, I can't understand. You know, and you know, we're merciful. I mean, we're supposed to be merciful. We don't just say, well, I told you so. Why don't you get to church and get in the house of God and hear some word and grow up, you know. But they don't call you until they have an emergency and things are falling apart and, you know. You know, it's like this disaster didn't just happen, you know. It's like so sometimes people will call, I'm getting evicted from my apartment at 3:00 this afternoon. Can you help? And you just found out?
Yeah.
It's 1 o'clock and you're getting kicked out at 3 and you just found it. Where you been? I just need counseling really bad. Well, all right. Come on. We do that. We help. Listen, are you paying your tithe? Well, no. Well, let's see, that's a disobedient thing, isn't it? When's the last time you went to church? Well, a couple Christmases ago. Okay, there's number two. Are you praying? Well, not really. Okay, there's number three. Are you reading your Bible? You know, Paul told the church of Thessalonica, he said, I command this epistle be read. Do you know that's in the Bible? I command this epistle be read. Are you reading the word? Well, no, I can't find my Bible. Well, that's number four. Maybe if you did those four things, you wouldn't need counseling. And maybe counseling's not going to fix those four things. Maybe obedience is going to fix it. Hallelujah. I know this is a powerful message, I know. Praise God. It's good. Amen. It is. It's good. We need to know these things. Amen. Now, all right. So a lot of times things that people want fixed, it's not fixable unless you obey. That's the only way to fix it. Just do what God said to do. I guess what I'm trying to say is all of us, myself included, all of us have a lot of things in this book that we overlook and just blow it off like it's not a big deal. It is a big deal if God said it. It's a big deal, see. So there's all kinds of things. Well, I don't know what he said, Pastor. I don't know how you expect me to obey if I don't know what he said. Well, thou art destroyed for lack of knowledge, see. Well, it ain't my fault if I don't know. Yeah, it is your fault if you got a book that's got the answers in it. Amen. Hallelujah. We just got to be dedicated. See, the problem with the church today, not you, but the problem with the church today is we just don't have the dedication we had years ago to the Word. A minister, a friend of mine, was telling me, he said, I have a friend. He went to Charles Stanley's church. How many know who Charles Stanley is? For years, he was the pastor of First Baptist Church in Atlanta. And so I don't think he pastors anymore. I think he's retired now, but just not too long ago, I think he retired, maybe last year or something. But, he said, my friend told me, he said, I went to this church. Now, you know, Brother Stanley was an honorable man of God and a good Bible teacher and had God's presence on his life. Amen. And so he said, my friend told me, he said, I go to his church and he's a minister too. I think his friend's a minister. And so they were courteous to him, said, yeah, would you like for us to show you around the building and everything? Oh yeah, yeah. So they took him and they show him around. Would you like to see Dr. Stanley's office? So, and so we go into this one room and after they saw his office and different things. We go to this one room and open the door and they said on the floor was a lamp and a sleeping bag. And he said, well, what's this room? He said, they got real reverent. These people showing in church. That's where Dr. Stanley goes and prays. I mean, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. That's his prayer room. In other words, this is a holy man of God, and he meets with God. And that's why he comes out on Sunday morning and he has something to say. Yeah. He doesn't just have a bunch of fluff and filler. He has some solid word from God. He said, as my friend said, man, I felt so blessed to see that. That this man of God was so dedicated. They said, oh yeah, he'll go in here and he'll stay for hours. Amen. Where's that at in the church? That needs to come back. Can you say amen? Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 3, go there. This is a little intense maybe tonight, but we need to know. We just got to obey what we know. You know, Well, we know we got to obey. Amen. Now, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 17 says, "But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness?" Talking about the children of Israel. To whom swore he that they would not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. Now, the King James uses the word believe not, which there's nothing wrong with that, but this is really, it has a twofold meaning here, and some translations say obeyed not. Now, the reason why is because this word means disbelief, you know, and it means disobedience. So they didn't believe God, they didn't obey God. So really, you could actually rightly translate this because of their unbelief and disobedience. And it would bring it out. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief or disobedience. "Let us therefore fear," talking about you and me, "lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." How many of you know God's got a rest for us? How it's a rest of faith, praise God. It's a place of blessing. But it takes obedience to get in there. Now, the children of Israel, God had something good for them, didn't he? He had a promised land. Canaan's land flows with milk and honey. I mean, he had a good land for them. But they were so stubborn and so rebellious that they end up being bleached and dying in the wilderness. That's just not God's plan. That's people's choices. And it wasn't like God decided that. They did that by not obeying God. God's got a blessing for us. He's got a rest for us. He's got a place of favor, hallelujah, that he wants us to get into, but we got to obey to get into it. We got to be obedient to his word. We got to be obedient to his spirit. Hallelujah. And do the things he said do. Glory be to God. He's got good things for us. And he wants the best for us. Hallelujah. Amen. He's got the best plan of anybody. Amen. His plan always brings blessing. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory be to God. And sometimes his plan isn't our plan. His plan isn't what we would want. Well, I mean, that's when it's time to adjust. The Bible says, the Bible says to present your bodies a living sacrifice and renew your minds. You got to renew your mind to his will. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.